Sean Haney here with RealAgriculture.com and RealAg Radio, Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM. It's now time for another beef market update with Ann Wasco, the Gateway Livestock Exchange. Ann, how are you?
I am good this Friday. Cooler. We did not get the snow the rest of Saskatchewan did, or a good chunk did yesterday, but -8 here in East End this morning.
Ooh. Yeah. That's a little chilly. That's you got to have a coat on. That's not hoodie weather anymore. Or should I say, for you people in Saskatchewan, bunny the bunny hug.
I'm not going there. Stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the weather is headed downwards. What do we see in terms of cattle prices?
Well, no, cattle prices are not going to get mixed up in that winter scenario. We've had another super week in the U.S. in terms of cash trade. So, of course, last week the market started to move or carried on from the previous week and added again to it this week. So in the south, in Texas, Kansas, 1 to 3 higher, that 130 to 132 kind of before yesterday's holiday, and then carried on in the south, in the north, yesterday 208 and 133 live. So that's dressed 3 to 5 higher than the prior week. So market's still, you know, chugging along and in good form. We are closely watching, however, though, the cutout, choice cutout did not follow suit. So a week ago, it closed at 290 on the choice cutout. Last night, it was 285. So we've lost a nickel on that. We're going to watch that trend. Normally, typically, the seasonal, you know, Q4 high is in November. Was it last week? You know, that's a question we're going to be asking ourselves. Was it last week and the market's going to kind of settle off a bit? We know these prices are sky high at wholesale, you know, $60 a hundred over where we were this time last year for the choice cutout. So it is understandable that there's some fatigue at these levels. But again, from a timing perspective, we'll watch that. And then just to round out the cash here in Canada, in Western Canada, we were slow on the get-go. The markets really struggled. Didn't trade anything last week. Yesterday, a little bit of trade in that 260 to 263 dressed area. That'll be a bit better than the week before, but still, you know, lagging this explosive, you know, pace that we've seen in the U.S. the last couple of weeks.
It's kind of refreshing to see the reverse of some of the price action. In terms of, you know, we talked for so long about the cutout value going higher, cash prices, you know, staying the same or going lower, and here we flipped it a little bit. It's good to see the leverage maybe moving a little bit more to the feeder.
Yeah, and that's the key word. You know, we've talked about leverage so much this year in terms of a negative storyline. Well, this is leverage can improve. Cattle supplies are tightening in the U.S. on the Fed cattle side, and this is what should happen. And to see it happening is, you know, kind of a sigh of relief that, okay, yeah, we can get leverage back on the side of the cattle producer. That's great news.
Yeah, you know, during the day, I flip through numerous news radio programs that I listen to kind of throughout the day to kind of get a bit of an idea what's happening out there. And I'll tell you, this week, there was a lot of focus. And whether it was just bad coincidence, that's when I tuned in, but a lot of mainstream news shows talking a lot about the price of beef at the store. It's getting some attention, and you mentioned the word fatigue, and we'll see where that kind of goes from here.
Yeah, and we know all prices are up. I mean, here in Canada, chicken prices were, retail prices were record high last month as well. But because beef is the highest price of the three proteins, the three main proteins, of course, it does get the attention. But it always is the highest of the three, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, there's some trade data we got to talk about as well.
Yeah, so this came out, since we last talked. And again, following on that, you know, that super month we had in August, both for U.S., Canada, in terms of beef exports, September was still a great month, not a record, not as big as August, but still well over last year. So for beef alone, exports in September were up 22%. So that means our year to date is up 25%, and the value piece up 38%. So there is no question 2021 is going to blow 2020's record out of the water in terms of the value of Canadian beef exports. So that's a super story. And, you know, they were up across the board to the U.S., but it's really the story, Japan, Hong Kong, China, Vietnam, South Korea, all of those were up markets as they have been all year for us. On the flip side, and we talked about this a month ago, imports to Canada, and we're a month more current on imports. So this is October. They're down 16% in October, and year-to-date now down 19%. And again, just less beef coming. We've got big production in Canada, up 11%. So obviously a market that doesn't, you know, bode well for imports.
Yeah, and that's the import of beef, not necessarily, that's not the import of live animals.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Sean. Yes, import. So all those numbers I just gave you refer to beef only.
How does all that compare to the 2019? Do you have any of that in front of you?
Yeah, so these will still be up from those. Well, okay. The import data is kind of back to pre-COVID. So let's say, you know, this 2021 import number is going to look very similar to 2019. But there's no question the trend on exports continued to be up. 2020 was over 2019, and 2021 is going to be over 2020. So these are up. And like I say, posing on the export side to be a record.
Yeah, and some of the countries you mentioned there from an export perspective, those are the countries that we're really trying to push product to when it comes to the CPTPP, right? As well as China on top of that. Those Pacific Rim countries are a real opportunity for Canadian beef exports.
And that is what's shining through in this data here so far this year.
Yeah. Another news item, Anne, is we posted a story at realagriculture.com yesterday. Some of the turmoil in the contract negotiations between the High River Cargill plant and its workers and the union. They've put a date on the board of December 6th. They've put the date on the board. That doesn't mean they're for sure going to strike. They can come to some sort of contract resolution between now and then. But let's talk about this from what we've seen in terms of packing plant shutdown disruptions in the past, whether that's fires or that's COVID, labor disputes. This would be just incredibly bad timing if a plant shutdown were actually to happen because of a strike.
Well, especially here in Canada and specifically in Western Canada. So as you've mentioned, you know, there's many reasons for a supply disruption or a packing plant challenge in terms of supply. And so this is just another one potentially on the list. But, you know, we've talked about the drought and how that's forced more cattle to go on feed. It's forced more cattle to market. And here in the last 2 months of the year is when the biggest sale of slaughter cows occurs. And we finally, as of last week's data, so this would be for November the 6th, ending November the 6th, we finally saw a cow kill in Canada get up over 10,000 head. And we've struggled to get the number up that big because they've been really focusing on fed cattle. But between 17% more fed cattle on feed in Alberta and Saskatchewan, so feedlot numbers are big, more cattle are being placed on feed because of the drought and lack of feed in the country and the price of it. And then on top of that, that's meant more slaughter cows heading to market. So all of those things just mean this is about the worst time. I guess there's no good time, but one of the worst times you could pick for having some challenges at a packing plant level.
I was just going to ask you, is there a good time?
I don't think I'd ever want to go on the record saying it's a good time, but yeah, this is a busy, busy time, whether you're talking about an auction market or whether you're talking about at a packing plant.
Yeah. Well, we just saw it during, you know, the last time we dealt with some shutdowns during the beginning of the pandemic. We just saw, you know, how 5 days, 10 days, those kinds of just the ramifications of that. Right. So,
well, and the long tail that those have, right. You know, you shut down for whatever, you know, a week or two or maybe more in case of that Tyson fire, but still the long tail that has to recover from is months, you know, and well into over a year with the COVID shutdown. So, it takes a long time to recover from these disruptions.
And finally, auction mart's still rolling. Cattle still coming to town.
Yeah. Numbers are still big. They're still, you know, visited with our veterinarian on the way through Maple Creek the other day, and they're catching up. But, you know, certainly they started early in terms of preg check, but still lots of activity right into December in terms of their business. That tells you they're going to stay, you know, the cow run's going to stay rocking and rolling for a while here.
Hey, Anne, have yourself a great weekend. All the best, and we'll chat again soon.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. You too.